But I would say that David acted like a madman out of fear, because the scriptures is very clear. It says that he was very much afraid. And so David realizes that they're going to get him now. So what does he do? He starts scratching on the walls, and he starts spitting, and beard, the spit starts coming down his beard, and he's scratching on the walls, and he starts to say, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. I'm about to go insane up in here. And they said, this fool was crazy.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today as we continue our walk through the Psalms with the first half of Alternatives to Losing Your Mind, Psalms 34. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Alternatives to Losing Your Mind.
And as we start out in the 34th Psalm, I just want to read what is known as the superscription. And the superscription is the little phrase or sentence that comes before the actual psalm itself. So in this one, sometimes we have to try to surmise what the background to the various psalms are. But to this one, there is no doubt as to what it is, because it says here, a psalm of David. When he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. So now if we want to find out why David wrote this psalm, we actually need to go to the passage that gives us the background to this particular psalm. And that passage is found in 1 Samuel chapter 21. So if you'll turn there, keep a finger or a ribbon or a bookmark in Psalm 34, and then turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And this is all written out in your notes, so you have it to take with you in case you forget what I'm getting ready to tell you. But in 1 Samuel chapter 20, David is actually running from Saul. Saul is jealous because David killed the giant, and David is getting more praise than Saul. And so he has a conversation with Jonathan in chapter 20, and he finds out that Jonathan is actually on David's side. And so not only does, at some point in time in the past, does he try to kill David, but he even throws a javelin at his own son because his hatred for David was so much. And so David flees, and David goes to the land of Gath. Now, you got to remember what happened in Gath. Well, see, this is what, and this is all in the background to the psalm, so I have this written in there for you. But what happened in Gath, or what happened concerning Gath? And you know, you might say, well, Pastor, Gath, what are you talking about? And as soon as I say this, you're going to know what you're going to know the significance of Gath. All right, we see that David's first battle, aside from the lion and the bear that he dealt with, was with a giant, and we all know the giant's name, right? It was Goliath. Now you know where Goliath was from. He was from Gath. All right. So David is actually running to a place where he has a great amount of enemies, but his pressure and what Saul wants to do to him, he feels that greater than going to where his enemies. So he figures he's going to take his chance. You know, here it is. Saul is after him on one hand, and so he figures he'll take his chance down in Gath. Now, you got to remember that when David actually killed the giant, and David also killed some other people of Gath, and there was a song out. It was the number one song on the charts at the time. And the song was that Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000. And so that was the number one song on the chart. And it goes back. So, you know, if we started saying songs from back in the 70s or whatever era you came through, you would probably remember some of those songs that we would sing. All right. So David slips down here into Gath, and he thinks that, well, you know, it's been a while since I killed the giant, so maybe a lot of people forgot about that. And so he gets down there, and here's where we pick up the narrative. Look at verse 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, you'll notice, and so here, see, this is why we need to study the Word of God, because if we don't, we start wondering, well, why is this and why is that? You know, why in Psalm 34 does it say Abimelech, that he ran from Abimelech? But right here it says that he went down to Achish, who was the king of Gath. Well, the term Abimelech actually would be like what we would say the president. Okay, so we've had President Clinton, we've had President Bush, we've had President Obama. So that term Abimelech actually means king. The word Melech actually means king. So that's why we have two different references, but it is to the same person, that his name was Achish, but he was an Abimelech. He was a king, all right? And so it says here that David went to Achish, the king of Gath, and the servants of Achish said to him. So again, now keep in mind, David's running from Saul, and he's going down to Gath. And the servants said to him, is this not David, king of the land? And so now what do? They go back to the 70s, they go back to the 80s, right? And they said, don't you remember the song? Don't you remember the song that they sang? Did not they sing one to another in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000? So David was exposed. The cat was out of the bag. The jig was up. All right? He was found out. And David laid up these words in his heart, and he was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So now David begins to be fearful. And the scripture says that he only had one alternative. Now, one of the things that I'm going to say today, this was not the only alternative he had, but this was the alternative that he chose. He changed his behavior before them, and he feigned himself a madman in their hands, and made marks on the doors of the gate, and let spit fall down his beard. And so here's David realizing that he's been found out. And, you know, instead of, now I was reading one sermon, and it said that God led David to act like a madman. But I would say that David acted like a madman out of fear, because the scriptures is very clear. It says that he was very much afraid. And so David realizes that they're going to get him now. So what does he do? He starts scratching on the walls, and he starts spitting, and beard, the spit starts coming down his beard, and he's scratching on the walls. And he starts to say, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. I'm about to go insane up in here. And they said, this fool was crazy. This guy's crazy. And you know, there was a belief back during this time that if someone acted like a madman or someone, you know, was acting crazy, that actually they thought that they had been touched by the gods. And that if anybody messed with them or harmed them, that the gods would harm them. And so at this point, and maybe David knew that, and that's why he did what he did. And so at that point, they said, maybe we're not gonna mess with this guy. And so they let him go. And so David goes, and as a result of that, he writes Psalm 34. And so that's how we get to Psalm 34. So the title of the message today is Alternatives to Losing Your Mind. Alternatives to Losing Your Mind. As we come today, we want to talk about alternatives to losing your mind. Now, there are some things that will make you lose your mind. Sometimes, if you deal with certain people, they'll make you go crazy. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, you remember growing up that your parents would say, boy, you're going to make me lose my mind. You know, so, and I know that was said figuratively, but when you look at it, let's just, we don't have to go very far. We don't have to travel back over the period of time. Let's just go back to last week, all right? Let's just go back to last week. And we don't have to travel all over the world. Let's just go to one city. Let's just go to one city in America where we see a young lady on stage singing and entertaining the crowd. And a man shows up with a gun and kills her while she's on stage. And you think about how that must have affected the family. That is something that will absolutely drive you crazy. To think that you lost a loved one over some one man who was acting foolish. And then let's stay in the same city and let's travel to another time when a man takes a handgun and an assault rifle and goes into a gay nightclub and just begins to mow people down, and the trauma not only of the people who lost a loved one in that situation, but just think of the trauma of the people who were in there. And I know that, you know, they showed one particular video where people were in a bathroom and the guy was right outside and he was coming. He told him he was coming. And can you imagine just what emotion runs through you at that time? And then even if you get out, the fact that you have to live that moment forever and ever and ever. And that's why, you know, a lot of people deal with the stress, post-traumatic stress, after the event, because it was so traumatic. And so, in a sense, their mind has been affected. Their mind has been touched. And then, let's stay in the same city. Same city. When you go somewhere for vacation and your little 2-3-year-old son is wading in the water, and then all of a sudden an alligator comes up out of the water and snatches your son, and you do, as a dad, you do the best that you can to try to fight the alligator and get him to release your son, but he doesn't. And then the next thing you know, your son is gone. The parents have to live for that forever. How traumatic, how stressful is that situation? And so we see here that these are things that will absolutely cause you to lose your mind. And I don't know what it is that you're going through, but I'm sure if we took a survey here today of people who are sitting here, that you might be dealing with something that will make you lose your mind. And I thank God for this 34th Psalm, because it lets us know that there are alternatives to losing your mind. And as we move ahead in the sermon, I thought about, you know, what are some bad alternatives to losing your mind. And basically, there are two bad alternatives to losing your mind. And the first one is grit ball. Now you're gonna say, well, what is grit ball? Well, you remember Medea. And there was a movie that she was in, and it was dealing with a lady who was being abused by her fiance. And you remember Medea's advice. Cook a big pot of grits. Bring him into the kitchen. Then toss the grits on him. Then after you toss the grits on him, swat him with a frying pan. You got to get a good balance, weight, and a sense of balance, and then you toss and swat. You toss and swat. Venus and Serena. That's called grit ball. That's the wrong alternative. That's the wrong alternative. Because, you know, that's not pleasing to the Lord. And by no means, do I as a pastor advocate grit ball. All right? It's wrong. But that's the way some people, you know, when, instead of losing their mind, what do some, they just go off on somebody else. They just go off. They just go off, and out of anger, out of frustration, they just go off. And then the second one, some of us remember the song. It's a thin line between love and hate, right? Where the guy, he's been out, and evidently he has a pattern of going out all night, staying out, and coming anytime he wants to, right? And his wife, woman, she doesn't say anything, right? She just keeps it all in. And so some people just keep it in, right? They just hold it in. And then one day, here I am in the hospital, bandaged from feet to head. You can't hold it in. You know, you can't hold it in. And yet still some people, that's the alternative that they have. They either go ballistic on somebody or they just hold it in. We thank God in the 34th Psalm, he lets us know how we can handle these situations that we go through. So back in the 34th Psalm, we see the first thing that he says is magnify the Lord and others will be blessed. Now again, keep in mind, when did David write this song? He wrote it after he had just got finished acting like a madman. Or maybe not right after, but this psalm is related to that situation. And so what does he say? And you know what? And this is my thought. Now I might be off on this, but this is my thought. My thought is that David sat down and, you know, again, we read in the text that he was fearful, that he was very much afraid. And so I think that David was not acting according to how God was leading him, but David was acting according to the flesh. And he was trying to protect himself. But I believe that as David went and sat back, maybe he thought, now again, I have no evidence for this. This is just my sanctified imagination. I just think that David maybe sat back and said, you know, maybe I could have handled that situation another way. Maybe there was another way for me to do that. And then he began to reflect on how else could I have handled that situation. And then he wrote Psalm 34. That's in my mind, you know. So you can buy that or you can come up with something else. But that's what I think. But we do know it is related to that event. We know that. How it came about, you know, we're not clear. So that's my, as I heard one person say, my edumacated guess. But he says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even when I'm going through a situation that's driving me out of my mind, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And so we see three things in this verse. We see the frequency of the magnification. So he says, magnify the Lord, enlarge God, make God big in the situation. See, if David had made God big in that situation, he would have been bigger than Abimelech, bigger than anything else. But what did David do? David focused on himself. And when he focused on himself, watch this now, don't miss this, that when he focused on himself, his problems became magnified and his God became small. But when we focus on our God in the midst of our problems, the psalmist said, let God be magnified. And what is the frequency of this magnification? He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so no matter what you're going through, and no matter how difficult or how devastating it is, always have praise in your heart. Always find a reason to praise God. Always in the midst of, you just lost a loved one. Your heart is torn in two. You can't hardly take the fact that you've lost a loved one. And you can still, in the midst of that, you can still praise God. You can still lift up a praise to God. Yeah, my heart is hurting. Yeah, I'm overwhelmed with grief. I'm overwhelmed with sorrow. But in the midst of all that, you know what? God is still good. You know, God has been good to me. God has done great things. Magnify the Lord, the frequency of this magnification. And then we not only see the frequency, but we also see the influence. That when you magnify the Lord, when you're in trouble, look what it says in verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. That when you're going through something, and you praise the Lord in the midst of what you're going through, then people around you are going to see that. And they're going to say, what? How in the world can you praise God in the midst of that? And then you get a chance to say, you know, man, I'm hurting. I'm hurting just like anybody else hurts. I'm dealing with a loss just like anybody else deals with a loss. But you know what? That has not affected God. That God is still good, that God is still the one that's on the throne. And the Bible says that when you praise God in the midst of your difficulties, that the humble, now, you know, you got proud people that are going to mock you and scoff, why are you trusting God? Why are you believing God? Look what's going on in your life. And see, those are the proud, those are the arrogant, those are the heathen. That's what they're going to say. But somebody that knows God, the humble, those who are meek and lowly in spirit, that when they see you praising God, what does the psalm say? It says that the humble shall hear of it, and they're going to rejoice with you. Are they going to weep? The Bible says weep with those who weep. They're going to weep with you, but they're also going to rejoice because they see you rejoicing. You know, a lot of times, I think when somebody goes through a difficult situation, and if you go to minister to them,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Alternatives to Losing Your Mind, Psalms 34. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Alternatives to Losing Your Mind, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Alternatives to Losing Your Mind. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Alternatives to Losing Your Mind, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org. Or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website at anchoredinjesus.org or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.